It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervie. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervie & Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Carrie Kasem. Carrie brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervie and Carrie Kasem.
A good afternoon, Los Angeles, and everyone listening on KBC.com. I am Alan Gervie, and I am the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervie & Wynn. And today, as usual, with a little help from my friends, I am going to be the managing partner of your life. We have a very important show, so you need to gather around the radio, or if you're in your car, listen up. Don't pay any attention to the traffic around you, because there are some important things that we need to talk about, and I'm fortunate today to have with me my lovely and talented co-host, Carrie Kasem. Hey, Carrie, welcome back.
Thank you. I know it's been a little while.
I have not seen you for a while.
For a little bit, but I agree. This is an important show. Important guests. I'm very excited.
Okay, so let's talk about this, because in case you have been under a rock, you know that there has been a horrendous gas leak in the Porter Ranch area, and a number of families have been displaced, and there this week has been a number of lawsuits filed, and in fact, later on in the show, we are going to have one of the lead attorneys of 25 plaintiffs who filed a lawsuit this week against the Southern California Gas Company and Sempra, their parent company, Robin Greenwald of Luxembourg in New York. But the complaint was actually filed by the Century City part of Whites and Luxembourg. And also Erin Brockovich. Erin Brockovich is going to be here to talk about the gas leak. She has a little bit of experience, wouldn't you say?
Just a little bit.
So later on the show, don't miss Erin Brockovich and Robin Greenwald. But now we need to talk to one of the superheroes of the environment, defender of the environment. He was actually named one of Time Magazine's Heroes for the Planet. He is, of course, a partner with Kennedy and Madonna, New York Times bestselling author and attorney Robert Kennedy Jr. Welcome to Gervie's Law.
Thanks for having me, Alan. Gary.
Oh, you got it. I got the privilege to watch you speak about a film that you were helping promote, and I got to meet you, too, and I just thought, I've got to have this man on the show, so I'm so happy you're here today.
You know, Robert, I got to ask you, you have done so much great work for the environment. How did you get involved with the Porter Ranch Gas League?
Well, actually, you know, I moved. Practice law and practice as an environmental advocate in New York for the past 35 years. But about 2 years ago, I married a California girl. I married Cheryl Hines, and we got a house in Los Angeles. So my house is only about 30 miles from where the gas leak's occurring in the San Fernando Valley. And local lawyers called me up, and some of local people, I got calls from many, many people asking me to get involved in this issue, and it's kind of right in my wheelhouse because I've been suing gas companies and oil companies for 35 years. And I went right down to the Porter Ranch estates and toured the gas fields and saw what was happening and talked to the engineers and got a sense of how bad this leak really is. And we were the first ones to file a class action suit, but we're also filing individual suits. We filed the class action suit, and you should understand this, because it gives us the ability to demand government action. And before anybody gets any kind of settlement for their property values or for their injured health, we need to stop this, and we need to get the people moved out. We need to get the schools settled down so that kids can move out of the schools that are now choking under these poison gases and get to a regular school without having their records interfered with.
Now, Bobby, I want to ask you something. Now, October 23rd, we hear about the leak. Do you really believe that the gas company knew about it before then? How much damage was already done?
Well, it's hard to tell. The gas company admits that it didn't tell anybody for the first 5 days. And it's been now, I think, 54 days since the leak, since they first admit that the valve blew. But I think that that is probably right from what we know, because it's coterminous with the reporting that people made of smelling these, you know, this rotten egg smell in the air. We don't know whether the rotten egg smell is mercaptans, which are injected into the gas to give it an odor. Natural gas, methane, is usually odorless, and the gas companies want to make sure it has an odor so that if there is a leak, it will be detected before your house blows up.
Is that the only reason they inject the mercaptans in there?
Because that's the reason they put the mercaptans, but there's a suspicion that there's something other than mercaptans, which is hydrogen sulfide and sulfur dioxide, which are of greater concern. And the reason we think that that may be a factor is we are finding high levels of those chemicals in the air, and we're finding them at levels that are 100 times what the California safe levels, what the California safety levels say that they ought to be. The sulfur dioxide and the hydrogen sulfide, which are gases that can cause brain damage, they can cause endocrine disruption, they can cause kidney and liver failure. And you find those in oil deposits. And in fact, this particular storage well is an odd situation because it is a former oil dome that was depleted and that the gas companies are now using to store natural gas in. And now you normally would not find hydrogen sulfides in a natural gas reservoir, but you do find them in oil reservoirs, particularly where there's been water contamination. And that we suspect that what the companies have been dismissing as mercaptans is actually the odor that people are smelling may actually be very, very high levels of sulfides, and that is something that is of great health concern.
You know, there's a health concern in Malibu as well with the schools and having a lot of toxins in the schools up there, but yet you don't smell anything. There's nothing there that says, help right away. Yet kids are getting cancer, teachers are getting cancer, there's autoimmune diseases coming along. But you have something like this in Porter Ranch where you can smell the gas. Kids are protesting. Something's happening right now. It's immediate, and everybody jumps on it. Let's fix it. Let's get these kids out of school. Let's do something. Why is it different than other places?
The polychlorinated biphenyls that they're finding in the window putty in the Malibu schools, and it's also in many of the other schools in the Los Angeles Unified School District, is odorless, it's tasteless, and the impacts of that chemical, of contact with that chemical, are latent. They don't occur until sometimes 10, 20 years, or 30 years after the exposure. In this case, we're dealing with a really unusual kind of contamination where we are seeing health effects occur immediately. You know, I toured the neighborhood almost 2 days after I heard about the problem and found people. I talked to literally everybody that I talked to in the Porter Ranch neighborhood was either directly impacted, their health had been impacted, or their children were being impacted. Their children had bloody noses. They had asthma attacks. The adults were having migraine headaches. There were adults wearing face masks. I talked to people who had uncontrolled vomiting, who had other stomach problems, who had ear infections, eye infections. So, you know, I've brought over many, many hundreds of environmental lawsuits and addressed many environmental crises. But as you point out, unlike PCBs, this is very unusual where you see direct health impacts on children immediately from the exposure. And the odd thing about this is that, you know, California is known as being such an environmentally conscious state, and yet in this day where we're seeing this unprecedented crisis, we also see almost no involvement by the government agencies. The kids are still stuck in their schools. They're having a hard time moving to alternate schools. There's 2,000 families that want to move their homes. Only 1,000 families have been moved. There's 2,000 additional families that want to be moved immediately, and they have not been allowed to move. They've not been given alternative housing. And you wonder why the governor has not been down to the site, to tour the site, to reassure the residents, and why you're not seeing more involvement from the state legislature. And I think that this really speaks to the power of the oil industry in the state of California. This industry, you know,
absolutely. Absolutely. You know, Bobby,
if it were any other industry, you'd see an immediate response.
I don't know about that, because you mentioned the Malibu schools, and we had the school district, Santa Monica, Malibu. Of course, on our show earlier in the year, we had Cindy Crawford and we had Jennifer DeNicola, who is with Malibu Unites, president of Malibu Unites, which is a form of America Unites. And they have had absolutely, in my view, no cooperation from the school district either. And you talk about the PCB effects. I represent teachers at the school. I'm going to trial next week on one of them on the Malibu issue. And I don't know if you've been involved or not. I know Jennifer has wanted to get you involved with the PCB contamination in the schools. But what we have found is that the school district have not done the necessary testing. They're hemming and hawing. They're pretending everything is all right. And I think that's consistent with what's going on with the gas company. Why aren't they doing the testing? Why aren't there independent testing being done, and why isn't the governor involved to make sure that the families are safe?
Well, are you asking me now about the Malibu School District, or are you asking me about the Porto Ranch gas leak?
I'm asking you about the Porto Ranch, but I'm using the Malibu as an example.
Yeah, I'm a little bit restricted, Alan, about how I can talk about Malibu, because I have met with the school district there as an attorney my firm bought the cases on the East Coast.
Right.
Bought the only successful cases against Monsanto. It was Monsanto who put the PCBs into that putty. And Monsanto is responsible for cleaning up those schools. There are some problems with some of the schools that Monsanto could argue that the statute of limitations has passed.
Right.
But I'm really restricted about, having met with the school districts as an attorney,
right,
I'm restricted about how much I can talk about.
I understand that.
Their case against Monsanto. I'll say this about Porto Ranch, that the oil that I have not in the United States seen a disaster, either a natural disaster or a man-made disaster of this magnitude, affecting so many people and affecting them so dramatically and making children sick so uniformly so quickly, that has not been treated as a state of emergency.
Right.
Why has the governor not declared this a state of emergency? And I'll give you the amount of money,
Bobby,
that
let me give you
industry
that
has given to both Democratic and Republican politicians, $500,000 from this company to elected politicians,
yes,
in this,
yes,
state, including $30,000 to the governor, and the governor's sister sits on the board of the company, of the parent company that is leaking this poison gas onto the people of the San Fernando Valley.
I agree. You know, Bobby, we have to take a quick break, but I just want to make one last point. The fact is, when you ask about the governor, he made all these promises when he ran for the people of the state, and then he climbed into bed with the money people, and that's your answer. It's simple. That is why you are not seeing any involvement from Governor Jerry Brown, because he is not caring about the people of California in this environmental crisis. We're talking to Robert Kennedy Jr. You're listening to Gervie's Law. We'll be right back.
Coming up on the next Drive Home with Jillian Barber and John Phillips, we find out what made more headlines this weekend, Star Wars or Donald Trump.
I'm going to bet Star Wars.
You want some? You want some?
Live and local, right after Psycho Mike and Dr. Drew on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Any person who makes or causes to be made any knowingly false or fraudulent material statement or material representation for the purposes of obtaining workers' compensation benefits is guilty of a felony.
Another day at work. The pain is getting worse, and I'm afraid to say anything because I need this job, and I don't want to get fired. If I wasn't the only one supporting the family, I'd quit.
Is this you? Are you suffering every day while your injuries get worse, and there seems to be nowhere to turn? Or do you have an injury that was brought on gradually by repetitive motion, and now you can't perform your job duties at all? For over 35 years, the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn has represented those who have sustained an injury on the job or have become disabled as a result of work. They're the experts in workers' compensation. You need an advocate. You need someone who cares about the injured worker. You need the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn to get you through the nightmare. Friends, if you're suffering with a cumulative work injury, the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn is in business to help you. Find out more. Call the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn, 855-4-RGW-LAW. That's 855-4-RGW-LAW. Or go to rgwlawfirm.com. First consultations are free.
Hi, folks. Alan Thick here. For some time now, I've been offering tips about how to deal with the IRS if you've fallen behind on your taxes, telling you to call Optima Tax Relief because they're the best trained, most trustworthy, blah, blah, and blah. But now the message is so familiar, you may not be listening. Oh, it's him again. Well, here's the important message. Call Optima Tax Relief. They can help you resolve your IRS issues. The government, you know, can garnish your wages. They can levy your bank account, even take your home or business. To be fair, the IRS also has a new program called the Fresh Start Initiative to help you with that debt. So we've given you clever slogans, don't mess with the IRS, they'd rather settle for less than bother you more. Now the clever thing for you to do is call Optima Tax Relief now for your free consultation.
Call 800-970-3199, 800-970-3199, 800-970-3199.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Say, what is this?
You know what it is.
790-790-790-790. KABC.
Welcome back to Gervey's Law, turning Murphy's Law upside down on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yes, we are back. You are listening to Gervey's Law. I'm Alan Gervey, and I'm here with co-host Carrie Kasem, and we are talking about the Porter Ranch gas leak, and we're fortunate to have with us one of the great environmentalists of our time, attorney Robert Kennedy Jr., partner with the law firm of Kennedy & Madonna in New York, has a great deal of experience with these leaks. And in our opening segment, Bobby, you said that this was one of the most horrific leaks that you've come across. Isn't that true?
Well, I've come across worse environmental problems, certainly. Environmental problems that involve more toxic elements, for example, mercury and lead, with longer-term injuries. But in terms of a definable crisis that has immediate discernible impacts on children, that is, you know, that immediately you have kids who can't breathe, who have pulmonary problems, who have asthma, who have other respiratory infections, who have who are sick, who are vomiting, who have migraine headaches, who have bloody noses. And it happens across the board to hundreds of children immediately. I've never seen a crisis like this where you did not have an immediate government response with a state of emergency and you know, a deep government involvement with government officials and health officials flooding the area, moving people out of their homes, which they deserve and which they're entitled to, moving them to comparable housing, helping them get into, helping their kids transition to safe school systems. Instead, you see almost a paralysis on the part of the government.
Now,
and you and I were talking, Alan, before.
Yeah.
And I want to say this about Jerry Brown. I've been a long-term admirer of Jerry Brown. He has generally a very good environmental record, but he does seem to have a blind spot when it comes to the oil industry. And, you know, I think it is, it's a conflict when somebody is accepting $30,000 from that company.
Absolutely.
And you have other members of his party, of my party, the Democratic Party, accepting $500,000 from that company. There's an appearance of impropriety,
right,
when suddenly you have a catastrophe of this magnitude and nobody is responding, and nobody, and you have the governor's sister who sits on the board of the parent company that is spewing not just methane. And this is, by the way, the governor spent the last week in Paris talking about California's forward progressive response on global warming, but this is 25% of the methane emissions for the entire state of California this year. And methane is 85 times more powerful at trapping carbon, at trapping heat-trapping gases than carbon is.
And they said that approximately 50,000 kilograms of methane is being released an hour.
It's 120,000 pounds every hour of methane coming this, but it's not just methane, which does not have, other than its function as a global warming, as a potent global warming gas, it doesn't have dramatic human health impacts. But along with that methane, we have benzene, which is a human carcinogen, ethylbenzene, a human carcinogen.
And that's the most dangerous, isn't it?
Well, then toluene and xylene, which are teratogenic and mutagenic, which cause birth defects and spontaneous miscarriages. We have radon gas, which is the largest cause of lung cancer in this country for non-smokers. And we then also have the sulfides, which are very dangerous, hydrogen sulfide and sulfide dioxide, which cause brain damage, which can cause death, which cause liver shutdown and kidney injury in people who are exposed. And we are exposing people not at trivial levels, but at levels that in some cases, in, you know, we've actually done measurements and found 183 parts per million in the middle of that settled community.
Wow. Wow. And, you know,
and the state,
this isn't
the state maximum levels are 0.3 parts per million. So this is literally hundreds of times the level that California considers safe. And there's nobody from the government in there reassuring people, getting them out of there.
Bobby, Carrie wants to say something. But I do want to say one thing before Carrie does, and that this isn't about Democratic politics. I want to make it clear. This is about a reaction to a disaster that needs to take place immediately. We have two schools, Porter Ranch Community School and Castle Bay Lane Charter School, that they're in harm's way. And Carrie, I know you want to say this, but again, this is about a reaction to something that needs to take place by the government, regardless of your politics.
No,
right.
Absolutely.
And there's no such thing.
Absolutely.
Let me say one thing, Carrie. There's no such thing, in my view, as Democratic children or Republican children. These are kids that are getting injured. It's all of our concern. People who want help should go to our website, to porterranch.com, get representation. It's not just the health impacts, but ultimately people are going to need reimbursement for their property values. Or they can come, you know, call our law firm. They can call Brian Panish or the Kennedy Madonna law firm. And we are going to, you know, we'll make sure you get your compensation. But the immediate issue, long before compensation and long before the long-term health impacts, is let's get these people out of there.
And that's what I was going to say. That's exactly what I was going to say. Look, you know, I know that everybody can't just pick up and move. I get it. There are certain, you have your jobs, you have your house, you have everything there. If it were me with my kids, I'd get out. I'd hightail it out. Whether it is, you know, a husband has to stay working, I understand. I get my kids out of there or ship them to, you know, my parents' house or something like that. I just wouldn't put up with my kids being sick every day. Here's the thing. I know Mike Antonovich, Supervisor Mike Antonovich, says that he's put up 88 air purifiers in the community, and there's 275 that are scheduled for installation. Is any of that helping? For the people that have to stay there, for the people that can't go anywhere, are these air purifiers actually helping?
Well, the air purifiers are not going to get rid of the ambient gases that are, you know, you can't filter the great outdoors. But, you know, what they, and it is tough for people to move, but the function of the government is to come in these kind of crises and say, listen, we're going to make it easier for you. We are going to put security guards into your community to make sure that when you leave your home is going to be safe.
Right.
We're going to we're going to make sure that there's a transportation company that will help you if you want to move completely, that will help you pack up that home and move. And we're going to make sure that the school is not going to give you trouble about shifting your kids to a safe school that is not stifling under poison gas.
Bobby, we have to break here, but I want to say one thing, just bottom line on this. These companies, the gas company, are trading profits for people's lives. We're not even talking about the long-term effects yet. We're talking short-term effects.
Exactly.
Robert Kennedy Jr., we want to thank you for being on Gervie's Law. The law firm is Kennedy and Madonna, and again, just say that website that people need to go to find out more.
It's Porter Ranch Lawsuit. Just go to Porter Ranch Lawsuit, and you'll find us.
Porter
thank
Ranch Lawsuit.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for being with us. Stay tuned to Gervie's Law. We have Aaron Brockovich and Robin Greenwald next. Thanks, Bobby Kennedy Jr.
Does holiday shopping in stores increase your risk of identity theft? Yes. Shopping puts personal information out there, and big retailers have been breached. Does shopping online increase risk? Yes. Online shopping leaves a trail of personal information behind. Does giving fruitcake as a gift increase risk? No. It's not very original, and the fruitcake may never get eaten, but it won't increase risk. Holiday shopping and using Wi-Fi over an eggnog latte at the coffee shop will. That's why LifeLock does more than free credit monitoring services to protect you from identity theft. We have proprietary technology to detect a range of threats. And if you have an identity problem, we have a U.S.-based team of specialists who work to fix it. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor transactions at every business. But with LifeLock, you can shop till you drop and feel better protected. Even if you do buy the fruitcake again. Right now, enjoy 10% off your membership as our gift to you. Go to LifeLock.com and enter promo code NEWS.
Don't settle for that other station's talk radio chatter. Tune into the most independent voice on the airwaves, delivering a fresh perspective you won't get anywhere else. Sam Nation, this Saturday, only at 10 a.m., right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Norm's breakfast, lunch, and dinner bowls are right up your alley. Complete meals piled high with eggs and fixings, pasta, or entree salads. Starting at $8.49. At Norm's, it's not how you roll, it's how you bowl. Open 24/7. Normsrestaurants.com.
Someday, we'll go to the edge of the galaxy. But for now, you can go to the ends of the earth in a Jeep Brand SUV. Catch a show of shooting stars underneath the night sky in the Jeep Cherokee, the 2015 four-wheeler of the year. Or go far, far away in the Jeep Renegade. Hurry into the Jeep year-end blockbuster sales event with great deals going on now. Star Wars The Force Awakens, in theaters now, rated PG-13. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
The Kings are on a mission to reclaim their throne.
Kopitar wins the draw. Muzzin pulls the trigger on a shot. He scores!
Don't miss a second of the action as the Kings go for their third cup in 5 years.
Defaulted to the net. Shoots. Scores!
Kings. Maple Leafs today at 3:30 on your home for Kings Hockey. 790 KABC.
Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice from a friend? Call Alan Gervie and Kerry Kasem now at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
Yes, we are back. I am Alan Gervie, and Kerry Kasem is here with me, bopping to the music.
Oh, yeah.
That was a very important first half hour. We were talking about Robert Kennedy Jr. And now we continue with the star-studded lineup talking about the Porter Ranch gas leak. And I will tell you, I read this week one of the finest complaints that I've ever read. And it was authored in part by Robin Greenwald, who heads the Environmental Toxic Tort and Consumer Protection Litigation Unit for the law firm of Weitz & Luxembourg. She's in New York. Her partners in Century City also contributed to the excellent complaint on behalf of 25 residents of the communities of Porter Ranch, Chatsworth, Granada Hills, and Northridge. And, of course, it's against the Southern California Gas Company and its parent company, Sempra Energy. Joining Robin on the line with us on Gervie's Law is Aaron Brockovich. Aaron Brockovich, of course, needs no introduction. She is always at the forefront as a consumer advocate, an environmentalist, and has done so much good for the citizens of this state and other states, protecting the rights when these horrendous acts occur. Robin and Aaron, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Thank you so much for having us.
I want to start with you, Robin. Tell us about the complaint that was filed. How did you choose the 25 plaintiffs, or did they choose you?
They chose us, and so we have 25 families. There's probably close to 100 people in the complaint, and we really are doing it in the order in which we're receiving retainer agreements. So as people ask us to represent them, we start learning more about them and trying to understand the various ways in which this gas leak has and continues to cause complete havoc in their lives and to their health. And so we're going to be rolling out complaints as we go along. So it takes a time to get these cases together, as you can imagine. We have to learn from each person and each family how the gas leak is specifically impacting their lives. So we'll be rolling out complaints probably once a week with probably 25 families in each one as we go along.
And, you know, I want to differentiate between short-term impact and long-term effects. This is something that I'm sure Aaron is familiar with. Aaron, now I know you've been to the site. You understand, and I don't know if you've read the complaint or not, but these families, you know, the children have been affected with short-term symptoms and complaints. Is this something that you've seen from your past work on these type of environmental tragedies?
Well, absolutely, Anya. This is something that is actually a little bit unusual because it's really, like, real time.
Right.
And the events are happening in real time. This scenario is very similar to the BP spill, except it's on land. So you are clearly going to have acute and short-term effects. And, you know, you can just go, frankly, to Dr. Google and look at material safety data sheets and find out that this is clearly the mercaptan is an irritant. It can cause respiratory, people are having nosebleeds, skin rashes, headaches. You get this very woozy feeling up here. I'm here right now. I've been here several times, and it's very real what's happening here. There's nobody crazy. They are seriously feeling these effects. And one reason that we decided to do Summa canister air testing is so that we can find out exactly what it is these people are breathing, which could help us understand what long-term impacts there might be, which could be volatile organic compounds. Is there benzene in the air? What else is in that natural gas that nobody seems to be disclosing to anybody in this community? And that is information we need to know so we understand their health issues today and what might be coming down the road.
Now, I have a question, and maybe it's rhetorical, but I'm going to ask both of you this. The gas company, Southern California Gas Company and Sempra Energy, they knew about this. They knew about this leak, I guess they're saying 5 days before the public knew about it. They knew what this gas could do. They knew that it was harmful. Why don't they immediately start to act on it? Why don't they immediately start to damage control instead of letting it go on and on and on? It's like they're ostriches. They stick their head in the sand. Oh, it's going to go away. It's not going to happen. We're not going to get sued. Why is this? Is it just money, money, money?
Let me take that one first, Aaron, or what? How do you want
to? You can start, Robin.
All right. So that's a great question, and it always amazes me that when these type of events happen, the entity, this company, doesn't come in and say, "Look, a terrible thing has happened to you because of our bad acts, and our fault should not fall on you and your families." And why they didn't immediately secure thousands of homes and get relocation experts into the community, get those schools moved out of Porter Ranch, why the people had to spend now, what, 2 months?
Right.
Yes.
Begging.
Yes.
Begging for help. And I have to tell you, we have many clients who right now, today, when they call the gas company, this is what they're told. We'll put you in a queue. We have 275 people before you. Oh. We'll get back to you as soon as we can. Oh. That's what they're told about relocation today, when they know how dangerous it is to be living there. It's incomprehensible to me. People have countless problems right now, countless. They have no coaches in the community to help people how to relocate, how to move their kids' schools, what to do with transportation, what to do with their pets. It's actually like borderline criminal what this company is doing.
I read somewhere that CEO Dennis Areola said this is not one of SoCal Gas Company's finer moments. Obviously.
Yeah, I'm going to ask the same question I asked to Bobby Kennedy Jr. Why, and I get that some families just don't know where to go, or they don't have maybe family or friends that they can send their kids to, or I would get my kids out of there immediately. I'd send them wherever I could to get them out of that toxic environment. Is that happening? And if it's not happening, I know that there's filters being passed around. Mike Antonovich is, you know, giving out filters. But what's happening? What are you telling the families to do, like, with their pets and their kids?
You know, the thing about, and I want to let Aaron speak for a minute, but I just want to say one thing about that. So one of the problems is for the first 6 weeks, the gas company's public persona, public statements were, this is not dangerous to your health, not dangerous to your children's health, this is not dangerous to your pet's health. And so when you're told that, it's so confusing. Like, you're a resident. You bought your home. It's Christmas time. It's Hanukkah time. It's whatever holiday you celebrate. It's the new year. To move you out of your home is such a huge step for people. It's such an incredibly huge step. It appears on some level that it should be easy, but it's impossibly difficult to do. And when you have this mixed message from companies, saying, you know, this isn't bad, don't worry about it, most days it's fine, this is not going to have a long-term impact on your health, I think families desperately want to stay together. They desperately want to let their kids wake up on Christmas morning in their home. Sure. And so they were hoping, I really think they were hoping, that this would, no pun intended, blow away. And it didn't, or blow over, I should say, and it yes. didn't. And so I think that as the public started to learn more, sadly, a lot of times from outsiders, like our consultants and other people's consultants, then they realized, we have to get out of here. I'm sorry, Aaron, I'm going to let you.
Oh, no, and Robin, it's an excellent point, and it reminds me so much of my days way back in Hinckley. I mean, because the communities are truly lulled into
right.
a false right. sense of what is going on. And they want to trust. By the way, Southern Cal, and they also want to trust their politicians who are coming out here and saying it's okay, because nobody wants to create this massive panic. Well, we're approaching that situation because it's gone on long enough, and they're kind of coming out of that false sense. Somebody is misleading us. And there's been misinformation to this community for some time. I'm a neighbor. I had no idea that Southern Cal Edison had the second largest natural gas reserve in the United States of America, right underneath Porter Ranch.
Not a lot of people knew that until this
no.
happened. Aaron Brockovich, I want to ask you something, because you bring up a really interesting point about the panic, and now it's starting to set in where you have a number of people, kids especially, who are suffering from these tangible symptoms. Doesn't that create a situation where you may have psychological issues, emotional problems, or people even creating symptoms that they may not actually have? What have you experienced from your past involvement in these environmental tragedies, and how does this compare to that?
Well, I think that a lot of times people do not necessarily say anything, because they don't want to be perceived as, oh, they're going to think I made it up, or someone's going to think I'm crazy, because we're told it's all okay. It's interesting what you said about the emotional impacts and the mental stress. I've actually had therapists write to me and say, this community, because this almost creates a really post-traumatic stress disorder for them, because they know they're feeling something, but then their mind tells them, no, you have to understand, they say it can't hurt you, but yet instinctually they know. It creates an incredible amount of angst for them, and then oftentimes they won't speak up because they're afraid they're going to be judged, or somebody's going to think they're an alarmist, or somebody's going to say, hey, be quiet about the property values, or it's just all up in your head, or making it up. And then they suppress themselves, and what really hurts them is the children are actually being harmed. I saw this in Hinckley, where families were doing what they thought was protecting their children based
right.
on what they were told, and they were actually hurting them. That's really unnecessary.
And that's scary. Deception. That's
it's
really,
scary.
Really scary. Now, we have to take a quick break, but I want to ask Robin one real quick question. In reviewing your prayer for relief on the complaint, how do you determine what the damages are going to be? Because we're still early in the game. You articulated a number of the short-term effects. How do we put a value on the long-term effects?
Well, litigation takes a little while, so those will be
a little.
That's a good one. I'm trying to make it positive.
Diplomatic.
Correct. I try. So we'll be developing those along the way. And there's no question that one of the things we're going to need to do here is get medical experts in place when we know what actually is in the air people are breathing. We're going to have to figure out a medical monitoring program for them so they can monitor their long-term health. And we're going to have some program in place for people who ultimately end up. Hopefully this will never happen. I hope what I'm saying now is
right.
Fiction. But if anyone, heaven forbid, gets sick down the road from this, they cannot give up those rights now. It would be imperative that any resolution of any lawsuit preserve someone's right down the road to bring any kind of action that would be necessary from the exposure
right.
today. We all know latent injuries are very real with certain chemicals.
Absolutely. As many people know who listen to this program, I practice workers' compensation law, and I have a number of clients who unfortunately have had chemical exposure, and the latency period becomes an issue, and the effects come out later on. Never thought that they would be in the situation that they are, but unfortunately, this is what happens with chemical exposure. You're listening to Gurry's Law. We're talking to Robin Greenwald of Whites and Luxembourg and Aaron Brockovich. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Any person who makes or causes to be made any knowingly false or fraudulent material statement or material representation for the purposes of obtaining workers' compensation benefits is guilty of a felony.
Another day at work. The pain is getting worse, and I'm afraid to say anything because I need this job, and I don't want to get fired. If I wasn't the only one supporting the family, I'd quit.
Is this you? Are you suffering every day while your injuries get worse, and there seems to be nowhere to turn? Or do you have an injury that was brought on gradually by repetitive motion, and now you can't perform your job duties at all? For over 35 years, the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn has represented those who have sustained an injury on the job or have become disabled as a result of work. They're the experts in workers' compensation. You need an advocate. You need someone who cares about the injured worker. You need the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn to get you through the nightmare. Friends, if you're suffering with a cumulative work injury, the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn is in business to help you. Find out more. Call the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn, 855-4-RGW-LAW. That's 855-4-RGW-LAW. Or go to rgwlawfirm.com. First consultations are free.
Talk Radio 790.
KABC.
You're listening to Gervey's Law, the intersection of law and life on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yes, you are listening to Gervey's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. I'm Alan Gervey. I'm here with Carrie Kasem, and we are talking about the natural gas leak, Southern California Gas, at the Aliso Canyon Gas Storage Facility. We have on the line attorney Robin Greenwald with Whites and Luxembourg, and we have Aaron Brockovich. And they are providing some really important information for people who, first of all, don't know a whole lot about this leak because you don't really get a feel for it unless you're actually in the trenches. And Aaron Brockovich has been in the trenches. What motivated you, Aaron, to get involved to the degree that you have?
Well, you know, I have, it seems every time there's some sort of environmental disaster, I start getting a whole lot of emails
right.
about what's going on in the community. And this is my community. I'm their neighbor. And I have friends out here. I have friends whose family are out here. So I feel really very close to the situation. And it's a quick drive for me over here. And so I immediately came into the community to find out what's going on and just get myself boots on the ground because you really don't know what's going on until you're here. I had the same experience one of the first nights we were up here. I got to tell you what, I felt really weird. Now, I come in with a sulfur sensitivity, and that's something that many people may have a sensitivity to, and we need to talk about that sensitive population, women who are pregnant, children, elderly, and what those effects are on them. But I had that moment where I was like, oh, this can't be real. I'm not sure I want to really say something, and I finally did, and I'm like, do you feel weird? Because you get this really strange sense, and I can almost not explain it. It feels neurological. You feel kind of spacey, woozy. This headache comes in, and I was afraid to say something. And then sure enough, everyone else was like, well, do you feel that? Can you taste that? You wouldn't imagine that when you come out here. I'm sitting here right now, and you see blue skies and people moving around. And it creeps up on you. And so until you're here, you don't really know. And so as their neighbor, I immediately got over here so I could see for myself. Again, boots on the ground. What is happening to these people?
Aaron, Carrie Kasem here. Just wanted to ask you something because I live close to that area. My sister lives in Chatsworth. Very close to that area. I know this sounds crazy. The last, couple weeks, a little bit of a headache, not feeling so good, and that could be something else, of course. But I am not too far from that, from Chatsworth, Porter Ranch. I'm wondering if the wind blows, is it possible that other people in other cities are being affected?
We're definitely hearing that from other people. We're hearing that from areas of Chatsworth. We're hearing that from areas of Granada Hills. And even up here in Porter Ranch, it can be spotty. Now, I've been up here. I was just here a couple of days ago. And you would think with the wind that it would kind of move it away, but it's a whole meteorological phenomenon up in this canyon-y kind of area. And, boy, let me tell you, a pocket can get you and about bring you to your knees.
Yeah.
You know, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying yes to your question. There are people reporting from areas of Chatsworth and Granada Hills that they are experiencing these issues. I was talking to a girl in the park, and she works at a daycare down in Granada Hills, but very close to here. She said there's days they don't let the children out to play.
Yeah, I don't blame them. Now, Robin, I want to ask you, Aaron brings up some interesting points about people who are suffering wherever they are. What is the difference between the lawsuit that you filed on behalf of right now 25 plaintiffs, and as you indicated earlier, there'll be more, and the lawsuit by Rex Parris who represents a class action lawsuit? So tell us how you look at the people who are victims, whether they should be part of a class or sue individually as plaintiffs.
So our case is, so each individual person will have an individual claim written about them, and their damages are individually assessed. And so I think one of the aspects to answer your question the best is as I was drafting those paragraphs for the 25 families,
yes,
and sometimes four and five people in the family, there were no two sameness. There was no one size fits all. Every person has a unique story and a unique situation. And so I think that some damages sometimes can be looked at as a class. For example, when there's some minor environmental issue and it's impacting an entire community, say there's some dust blowing and it's causing a nuisance and it causes the same nuisance to the entire community. Sometimes that can be class. I don't think class actions are wrong or inappropriate in many circumstances, but this is a situation where every person's situation is so unique. And I have to say, we got a call today from someone. This one really moved me. Everybody's story moves me, but this is an incredible story. And Aaron mentioned a pregnant woman. This is a woman who's in her, I think, 7 months of pregnancy. She's in a relocated house. But they've been told that they have to vacate at the end of the month. And so they don't have any other place to go. And they called up the gas company, and the gas company said, well, we'll have to put you in line. So they have nowhere to go in a matter of a week. And she's 7 months pregnant. She's petrified to go back. And they're not helping her. And that's like the kind of story, like, how can you compare that to anybody else? And that doesn't mean someone else's story isn't as difficult or painful. We've talked to people whose children, well, fortunately, we all learned the school is going to move. That's a fantastic victory for the community.
Right.
And if that isn't the best example of the strength of this community, they did that on their own from the ground floor. That was the best example of that community coming together, staying strong, not being angry, but demanding that the school do the right thing for their children.
Importantly, regardless of the costs. And that's what we're talking about here, is that unfortunately, in the situation that both of you have experienced in the past, the costs, the profits, seem to get in the way of doing the right thing. And, when we talk about class versus individuals, Aaron, going back to the Pacific Gas and Electric Company days in 1993, were you facing the same sort of thing where people weren't sure exactly which direction to go as far as plaintiffs?
Well, yes. From the beginning, it was a direct action. But the plaintiffs, these are very big decisions for them about what they do. And then they'll find strength as they become united. I think when they realize, oh, what's happening to me is happening to my neighbor, and then they will methodically move their way through decisions, and just like this community has done here. So I think that might be what you were asking me. But from the beginning, Hinckley was not a class action. It was,
right.
was a direct action.
Yeah, and that's important because, as Robin pointed out, everyone's an individual, and people have to be thinking about, a lot of people listening to this program right now have to be thinking about their own situation. We only have a few minutes left, and what I want to do is try to end on a positive note. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to find one, but tell us both, and Robin, you can start, and then Aaron, you can also add your comments. What can we do from here? How do we make this situation a little more palatable for the future to protect our families?
Well, what I'm hoping is that the gas company is listening to all these radio shows, so thank you for doing the show.
Sure.
And listening to the communities who are going to meetings begging for alternative housing, and that the company will step up. If it doesn't, on behalf of our clients, we are going to go to court, and we're going to demand that the gas company give people in Porter Ranch and the surrounding communities suitable alternative housing until this gas leak ends. And I'll tell you something else that's happening right now. And it's a positive because I think it sounds negative, but people have to stay together like they've been doing. But even the rental agreement that those people who are being relocated, there's some really unfair aspects to it. And I'm hoping now that we have clients and we represent them, we're going to be going to the gas company lawyers, and we're going to try to sit down with them at first rather than running to court. We'd like to first sit down with them and say, can't you do this fairer?
Right.
Can't you put yourselves in their position and do it right? If they say no, then we'll seek court intervention. But I am actually hopeful that we can sit down with the gas company, that we can explain to them what some real life situations are and get them to change. I can't promise, but I'm going to try.
Great.
Excellent.
Aaron?
And that's a very positive note. And on my positive note is, again, it's I have been dealing with communities now for 20 years. And the look on their face when I often tell them Superman's not coming in here to save you.
Yeah.
We have agency failures. The law takes time. We have political corruption. We could go on and on and on. What these people are starting to see, and they become empowered by their own message and their own strength. That is a very positive note. And we touched upon that. Look what they did with the Los Angeles Unified School District. That is one step in
right.
a very good direction, and they're going to keep going that way. So I think that these people and their use of social technology and staying united and becoming a new, different type of social activism and realizing someone's not going to save them, they're going to get busy saving themselves. That is a positive note.
And I agree, and, you know, I don't want to rain on your parade, but I have to bring in the fact that profits have to be put aside in this situation. Money has to be put aside. We have to take care of our own, of our people. And in the first half hour, we talked about the governor getting involved, and we need to get the support of everyone because these companies are making lots of money, and the fact that they put up these blockades, these obstacles, it's all because they're trying to hold on to their cash. And when something like this happens, that's got to be the farthest thing from our mind because people's lives are at stake. Robin
yes,
Greenwald.
Well said. Thank you.
Yes. Robin Greenwald's with Weitz and Lexenberg. Robin, how can people get a hold of you if they want to tell you about their situation?
Well, they can go to our website, which is www.weitzlux.com, or they can email me directly at R, and my last name is Greenwald, G-R-E-E-N-W-A-L-D, at weitzlux.com. Sorry, I know it's long.
Just Google. Just folks, Google Robin.
Google it, right. Google my name. You'll
and
find me.
Aaron Brockovich, we want to thank you. And I want to thank you personally for all the work you do. Obviously, you're not the attorney handling the case like Robin is and her firm of Weitz and Lexenberg. But what you're doing is you're going into the trenches. You've been doing it for over 20 years. And people are surviving because of you, people are thriving because of you, and people are getting support because of you. So from the community, Carrie Kasem, we thank you for that.
Thank you so much, both
of
you.
That was really very lovely. Thank you. And again, everybody said it beautifully, and we are all here to protect their health and their welfare and keep them moving in a positive direction. So I said I'm their neighbor, and I'm one of them as well, so I'm happy to be here, but I really appreciate you.
I would love to have you guys back in a few months, and I want to hear good news. I want to hear
okay.
that things are improving.
Sounds good.
All right. We're going to have to close the show now. This has been something really important. We want to thank everyone for listening to Gervie's Law. On behalf of Carrie Kasem and Alan Gervie, want to wish you happy holidays.
That's right.
The preceding program was a paid commercial announcement. The sponsor is responsible for its content, which Talk Radio 790 KABC does not necessarily endorse or support. KABC.
Dr. Drew and Mike Hathaway are terrific.
I always listen to Peter. I always listen to John and Jillian.
I love McIntyre in the morning. It's great.
My radio's on.